It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Jefferson, the book Red Tail Captured, yes. Red Tail Free, Memoirs of a Tuskegee Airman, Prisoner of War in Germany for 9 months. $32. Contact me, 18126 Brinker Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48234. Or call me, 313-368-0674. Thank you.
Hey. Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, we were having a bit of difficulty, as you may have gathered in the earlier show. We had a little blackout here, so mini blackout. But we're back and trying to see what we can do. And happy New Year's, everybody, and welcome aboard. This is an awesome day, kind of cold, slight chill, and you're going to have bumps in the road, I guess, as we all know that. And let me make some adjustments here. I'm starting to sound like Smokey the Bear. So anyway, sorry, Polka had to experience the delay and what have you, and so hopefully, if you have a call or interested, just give us a call here at 888-5204, 888-5204, and we'll do some talking and let you go back in time for the past year and some of the things we've done and worked on. And it's not a perfect world, but we're trying to remind people that they are responsible to us. As citizens, and it's our government, we know that. But you know, there's this one of the things, many things that I want to chat with you about. But the response of a government or government entities to you and I, the general public, and I'm going to use a couple of examples to tell you, and this is not an endorsement of any part, any individual. So please, if I say something that tend to portray one candidate or a sitting governor in a bad light, it's not that intent, and it's just that I'm using examples and I'm not weighing one against the other. But let's start with Governor David Ige. Now, you don't expect him to work miracles after following the likes of Neil Abercrombie. I mean, you're talking about, I suspect that everything that Donald Trump learned, he learned it from Neil Abercrombie. And I'd like to see if Neil was his consultant, you know, former governor, congressman Neil Abercrombie, Crombie. And his cohorts and the people that serve to rip off the public. And I suspect, and I could be wrong drawing such conclusions, but I believe that if Mr. Trump did not take plays from Neil Abercrombie's playbook, then he cheated himself. And I suspect he may, along the way, some of his supporters or people that are in power with him in his cabinet or what have you, have consulted or observed Neil Abercrombie. Remember the PLDC and all of that ruckus and having a young sapling such as Donovan De La Cruz, who we now, he's been endowed with the title Senator Donovan De La Cruz. And remember, Donovan was young, vibrant, not illustrious, but enough to get the attention of the voters. And so I often wonder, were the voters that in that district in Wahiawa, in that area, just desperate for attention? Or did they just say, well, boy, you go away and take care of this for us, or something? But in his travels, he's been elevated to the Senate through that they voted for people voted for him in his district and what have you. And he's now the Ways and Means Committee chairman. And so we talked about, and you may have witnessed the article in the Star Advertiser that laid out with a bit more details as to Senator Donovan de la Cruz's involvement in the planned development at the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. And now, we had told you about this about a month ago when we broke the story here talking about that or his involvement. And there's been other reports in the past. Ian Lin at ilind.net, that's ILIND.net. He, too, had raised the issue about Donovan de la Cruz's somewhat poor appearance as to questionable appearance as being part of a DTL and limited incorporated liability. And indicated in there that, you know, that should raise the eyebrows of someone in government. But it didn't, apparently. Donovan progressed along and elevated himself. And so now what's reported, and we've reported this, and I had asked questions to that effect. Were you involved in this, and how much work do you put in, basically? And how much do you get paid? And so Mr. de la Cruz, the way he presents it is that he is an owner, 10% owner of the DTL, and he gets about $50,000 to $100,000. But there was an earlier report, Next Era, we will say, had desire to join in the business interests here for energy. And there was this big movement to an effort to get ag land out going out Wahiawa side and Haleiwa side to actually do some trade-off to accommodate energy-based businesses or, you know. So Donovan de la Cruz, in that situation, it's reported that he received from NextEra $84,000 in 2014 or earlier, maybe. I want to be careful as the date, but it's not in dispute how much he got. So the question that I have, one of many questions, is this ethical? Now, why did I say about Mr. David Ige? Because many of these things now that Donovan de la Cruz is part of or finding himself benefiting from are occurring under the watchful eye, the watchful attorney general, the watchful ethics commission, and all under the Ige administration. So, Ike, either he knows that if something of this nature takes place, alarms and bells and whistles should go off, and he should be quite concerned and want no part of it, and to say to Suzanne Case, hey, you know, that Alawai Small Boat Harbor matter, that development, here's what we're going to do. I understand that Donovan De La Cruz is connected with a business, and it's been all over everywhere. So I understand that he's involved, or someone should have advised him, or he should know these things, because we, not only are you just trying to make profit for the public, which government don't make profit, but caring for the business of the people. And this would be one of those things, just like a prominent traffic sign warning you of hazards ahead. You just don't sit in the governor's chair and then turn it around when people walk in to speak with you and kiss your hand or your ring. You also have to be proactive and have a government, a body that prevents, that ferrets out, that looks for these things, that guard against these kinds of practices. And the first step would be to say to someone like Suzanne Case, look, you're in this position, but I want ethics. I want that to be your guideline. I want that to be your conscience. I don't want to be entangled in some or embroiled in some questionable ethics matters or concerns when it comes to doing the people's business. Okay? Well, we've already talked about, I told you, and funny thing is, you know, they don't want you to see the contract that relates to this small boat harbor. They refuse to release that. But what I can submit to you with the greatest degree of accuracy that could possibly be afforded or attained, and that is the State of Hawaii Requisition and Purchase Order, the specific one, was issued. I think it was CA-35, I can't see the exact, 359-686, done on 4-4-17. Now, Edward Underwood signed it, and it was approved by Suzanne Case. Now, it was to prepare a greater plan, a master plan, including public outreach and infrastructure. So, announcement and planning for the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. That was the contract. And Cynthia Gomes was the person who authorized it, and it was approved by Suzanne Case. Now, how is it that under this IGE, and I'm offering this to say, you know, sometimes we say, well, we don't know that much about IGE. It's hard to make a decision of a certain politician. We don't really know what he did. And I'm trying to share with you and convey to you that here's some of the things that he allowed that comes under his umbrella, with apparently without any consequences, because this is formal documents. These things, matters are, a lot of taxpayers' dollars are attached to it, so you would think it shouldn't be taken for granted. So, in that packet of telling how much, it was $99,885. And that was the actual amount of the contract once Donovan De La Cruz's company, DTL, was awarded the contract, picked over, chosen over Group 70 International and ACOM Technical Services, Inc. The ranking as they go. Now, this is information that Ed Underwood wouldn't tell you and wouldn't release the document, but for somehow we got some specific information that someone shared with us that speaks specifically to the conditions of that. And so there's this curtain that I have witnessed now that David Ige's administration operates by and behind. They're not responsive. And we'll get into that, and I'll give you more details and more instances. But the selection consultants for the Olawai Small Boat Harbor, the selection committee, there was an actual committee, and they're writing to Suzanne Case. And the committee members are Ed Underwood, Finn McCall, and Dana Yoshimura. They all recommended to Suzanne Case, who is the chairman of the land board, and Suzanne approved it. Suzanne Case, the chairperson of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, as well as the Board of Land and Natural Resources, who shares the same board with Keone Downing, whose daughter is involved in the DTL that works for DTL, and I give you the most specifics. So the question is, and we're going to be checking more, is that did Mr. Downing vote or participate in any matter, or did he recuse himself? I suspect he didn't, because they had no comments when they were approached by, as it's reported in the Star Advertiser's article last week, that asking questions, how is it that your daughter could be working for DTL and doing Department of Land and Natural Resources work or contract? So, the Department of Land and Natural Resources Division of Boating and Ocean and Recreation, and this is the actual documents that we're told were submitted. Proposal to provide community outreach and conceptual planning for the Olawai Small Boat Harbor, February 16, 2017. Now, what does this have to do with EGATE? You just can't tell people all the crises that you have. I'm comfortable with being told that here are some measures that we take and we've implemented to guard against even the mere appearance of ethics violations. We don't welcome that. And so what happens is that I'm going to give you a list of and information on this, the participants in this DTL. Now, there is Malia Kauaihui, who's a PhD, and again, now I know many of you probably know these people and think the world of them, and I do too, but I'm just reporting to you the things that might concern us, because it involves our money and the displacement of many hundreds of people, if not thousands, taking away many resources that the public enjoys, and now it's in the hands of private entities by way of the PLDC, left to us by Neil Abercrombie, guarded and headed and steered the engineer being Donovan De La Cruz, but he was not the engineer. He was just a come along, get along, and using the senator's position to give these guys what they want. Remember Act 55, we broke that to you way back, and the abuse that Neil Abercrombie had initiated, his actions to defraud the people of the natural resources and the lands and what have you. So, it is with great excitement, this is Malia, I'm told, wrote this, that DTL is submitting our proposal to provide community outreach and conceptual planning services. DTL is a Hawaii-based studio specializing in strategy, branding, and communications. We are a group of multidisciplinary professionals that engage a collaborative approach, drawing from our diverse backgrounds and experiences to provide a comprehensive range of services for our clients. We are sought out for our expertise and explicit attention to detail and culture, providing value beyond our clients' expectations. With DTL's recent work facilitating the planning efforts at Kapalama Canal, well, gee, isn't that something to do with the city? And if you go back and look at the files and the records and the activities, you'll see Mr. Donovan De La Cruz was there in the pasture herding sheep. And so to speak, of Honolulu, and the Kiwalo Harbor Master Plan for Howard Hughes. Isn't that cute? I mean, you know, you Howard Hughes has the luxury of enjoying the Neil Abercrombie being an advocate and then having the luxury of having... Well, wait, I'm drawing conclusions. You're jumping ahead of myself because in this letter, and this was dated February 16th, 2017, with DTL's recent work facilitating the planning efforts at Kapalama Canal and the Honolulu and Kiwala Harbor Master Plan for Howard Hughes, we feel that we can bring a unique experience and skill sets to your strategic planning endeavors. Please review the following proposal and feel free to contact me if you have any additions. Now, when they talk about all the professional knowledge and background and expertise that they have, not one word mentioning, we also have the luxury of having a state senator in our pocket. We work him like our puppet because and this is not against his will. He loves it. He's a part of it. He owns a company. But you don't see that kind of, I mean, if you're going to be talking about how great your background is on and the people that you bring to the table and the resources that you're drawing from and their expertise, wouldn't you be willing or shouldn't you to show that you stand out amongst the others because you have not only at your disposal, you have a state senator who is the head of Ways and Means. I mean, dude, I would put that down. If I was a consulting company, a consulting firm looking for business, I would be writing that down. Look, man, if you knew it, I apologize, but I got to tell you again. I got to tell you. We have Donovan De La Cruz, state senator of Hawaii, Wahiwa District, on our staff. He owns part of the company. Now, you can't get better than that. We don't have to go through the regular process. We go directly to the senator and let him handle these matters, and he can call up Suzanne Case and say, hey, you know, I see that you've got a job coming along here, you know. And, by the way, he also says that he's head of the communications. But, you know, Suzanne, look, now, you know, I'm not using my position to exert pressure on you to do this, but you know, Suzanne, my company put in for a bid in for that, and you know, Suzanne, I'm not suggesting that you give it to us, and I want you to stick to the rules of the road and obey the law, but you know, just wanted to pull your coattail and let you know that that's my company. But they don't say that. We are sought out for our expertise in explicit attention to detail and culture, providing that part of that statement is so beautiful because it says detail and culture providing value beyond our clients' expectations. And the culture she's talking about is that corrupt backwoods, backcountry, guttural behavior that we find that is so prevalent and that permeates the halls and the windows of the state capitol and politics here. That's the cultural aspect that she's hinting to. You have to be, because if you understand the significance of this, you'll know that there is no way in anybody's sober mind that a state senator's business should be getting business for the that is government funded, government interest. And when you ask, well, what did you do to earn that money that you get, that you report $50,000 to $100,000 a year, What do you do? When do you go in? Well, I don't go in, but I reported that I made that somewhere in between that on the Ethics Commission. So they have, I'm trying to sort through here so you can see the projects that this DTL has been involved in. Now, all of this is occurring now on the watchful eye and the administration of David Ige, state senator. I know you probably say I'm stretching it, and probably, you know, you probably have some logical reason for drawing that conclusion, but I'm here to say, just like you, I have documented information that I'm privy to that allows me to say, well, my view of this and my conclusion that I draw is a little more informed than maybe the average Joe or just someone listening to this show and then might have an opinion in the last 5 minutes about this because I've said something that may be contrary to what you think that goes on in local politics. But in this, if you go to DTL's office at 725 Kapi'olani, you'll find one of the most interesting setups there are. You notice he said our studio, and that's basically what it is, a studio. And that studio is housed in the WCIT. Hold on here. So, WCIT, and I'm digressing a bit because I haven't mentioned this, but I've jumped ahead. I went down and recovered the DCCA's records, trying to construct a factual history of Mr. De La Cruz's birthplace as it relates to his business with DTL. Now, I went down and I pulled up the Articles of Incorporation and annual reports for WCIT Architecture, Inc. And how is that related? Because Mr. De La Cruz, in his infancy, in his earliest stages, prior to emerging and growing out of the old shell and becoming the state senator of the Ways and Means Committee chairperson, he worked for WCIT. And the way it has been presented is that he's a former employee of WCIT. And that was it. Now, who are the owners of WCIT? Well, the owners of WCIT were the name and registered agent, and the registered agent street address and all were Robert K. Iopa. His address was 725 Kapi'olani. Now, this is where Donovan reportedly reports that he was working before DTL. So, if he's working for WCIT in the past, and then he went and started working for DTL and became a part owner of DTL, Limited Liability Corp. The way you see it, the way it's presented, they're separate entities. When in fact, WCIT, here are some of the officers, list of officers and directors. Robert Iopa, Adam Wong, Connie Cooney, Daniel Connie Cooney, Mark Higa, And in that, now at WCIT, you don't find a single mention of Donovan De La Cruz. This is WCIT. Ruben Chalk and Kunha, Lawrence Kunha, they are the owners, and they all report at WCIT at that address. And that goes on for 2016, 2014. We have all of these. And that's basically the domestic profit information for that, provided Kevin Chong was the officer, and this was being, let me get this right now, I don't want to give you any bad information. Dropped a page here. So WCIT Architecture 7-Eleven, Kapi'olani is a different address now, 7-Eleven. But the historical, same people as 2006, 2005. These are the same people that Donovan says that he was working for or with. And articles of amendment to change in corporate name. The present name of the company was Watanabe, Chan, Iopa, and Takaki. That was WCIT. And that changed in 2004. So Donovan worked for this group of people. Now, interesting, if you go and check the elections reporting, you'll find that more than 75% of those people, I didn't go to, I'm pretty sure there was, they all were, but donating money to Donovan De La Cruz's campaign. So, once again, there is a document here that WCIT. Now, we don't show anything. Donovan De La Cruz says that he is an officer owning some, maybe 10% in DTL limited liability. So the way it's represented is that he'd also left WCIT and given the impression that he's a separate entity, separate agency, separate company, nothing to do with the former WCIT. When in fact, in 2017, I pull up the DCCA records on DTL Limited Liability Corp. They're on the fourth floor, they report. And they're at, you better guess. I guarantee you, you couldn't guess that they were at 725 Kapi'olani Boulevard. No way in a thousand years would you get that right. And nature of business, culturally based strategic planning, community outreach, and branding. It's rather exotic, you ask me, when you're resorting to the same old tricks, screw the people, take their money, get what you want, and while you're getting what the people need, you're taking care of your needs. In my opinion, in my observation, and my conversation with others that I've shared this story from up and down the totem pole, they've all had the same response. That does not sound or seem ethically correct. It does not. So, they may... The manager of that is Ka'ahui. Ka'aihui, I should say. I regret that I am not careful to pronounce Hawaiian language. It is a beautiful language, and I should task myself with learning to be more appropriate, the proper. But nonetheless, Malia P. Ka'aihui, reports that she's a registered agent for DTL. And she declares on the limited liability filings, manager or members of that. Now, remember now, WCIT is in the past, as you, if you look at the way Donovan presents it. But in reality, these documents show that the principal officer on the fourth floor, 725 Capitolani, and its culturally based strategic planning community, and the company is manager managed. Well, who are the managers? The managers are Malia Ka'ai Hui, and the managers are, says, WCIT Architecture, 725 Kapi'olani. So there you have it. WCIT is actually DTL. DTL is actually WCIT. But Donovan tells you it's a, you're working for a different company now, and it's DTL. So in other words, it does not matter what it looks like ethically. It's just that if I can hoodwink you with this language and get it embedded into and hidden over here and hidden over there, I could peripherally stand on the perimeters of the ethics fence and hint that it's a different company because they know the average citizen is not going to bother to check. And why would they make an inference or suggest or state that they are a separate company when in fact, if you look at the records, they are the same company? And you don't see that. So that was 2014, 2013, the same thing. So Mr. De La Cruz has been at this for some while, folks. And I've always been fond of Donovan. I mean, you look at the way things develop here, you know, you... I think I recall some his grandparents or someone raised him, and I'm a grandparent child and what have you, and great thing. But somewhere down the line, he seems to be attracted to or being recruited for or doing something that seems to be, he's tainted, he's contaminated with the foul odor of running astray of the ethics rules, in my opinion. Now, again, I have to remind myself most times when I'm speaking on radio and talking that I'm in Hawaii, and I see what openly does, takes place here ethically with politicians and all, and even if we catch them, it is a fly in the ointment. Or whatever you want an analogy you wish to use, nothing happens to them. Rami Kachola, you know, just city council member. The only one that suffered was Reen Mancho, and I still scratch my head today. Is that why did she only suffer the jailing and Rod Tam? But these folks can play along right up to the fence and have a key to the back gate. And we call them out, and you go back and vote for them. So this may not be that big of an issue. And I've hinted about this and talked about it. And in my first, the original one, I said I don't want to impugn the integrity of Mr. De La Cruz, and I still don't want to do that or wish to do that, and no intentions of doing it. But these records causes me to have some concern that how can he be so open? And do you think that Suzanne Case or anyone else, it doesn't matter, chairman or director of any state agency, would say no to Donovan De La Cruz when they know he's handling the appropriations and the monies handed out to his organization, or granting contracts, awarding contracts, and refusing to award contracts for his company, and then you show up and you go before him, or your interest needs funding, and he won't appropriate any money. Do you think that there's a hint of that? Or there's a strong, strong odor of corruption? I suspect it's the latter. Because you're putting a lot on the line here when you behave and you're giving Suzanne Case granting a permit and approving a permit or a contract for a business that has direct ties with the state senator, and that would reflect bad on your boss who appointed you. Isn't that amazing? You hear this, don't bring shame to the family. What about don't bring shame to the party? What about don't bring shame to the politician or your boss? But I guess that's a word that's rarely used, shame. In fact, I rarely hear it when it comes to a politician in this state. So this is a really interesting set of circumstances here that, and I know that I could, in fact, do a little better job on it, but if you were to Google Mr. De La Cruz's name and look at some of the projects that he has worked on, you would be quite interested. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, Carol, very interesting topic about Mr. De La Cruz. You know, from city council to state senator, still doing the same old thing, I guess. Don't forget, Richard used to bring his name up too, Esther Garcia. When he was city council, he just got a slap on the wrist when he had some ethics violations too. He just got a fine.
Right.
He was just on the city council. And then, remember Andy Mercatani?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got arrested and he was kicked off the council and he went to jail for whatever he was doing over there at the time or whatever.
So, who's protecting people like?
The old boy network?
Yeah, but the old network protects some and grind others. I guess it's like, do you want coffee? You if you ain't good with them, they ask you, do you want to be ground or you want whole bean?
Yeah,
yeah, I was going to get to that with, because I say David Ige, but I'm saying, hey, you know, look, you know, Ron Cochi is the state senator, the chairman of the state senate, and then Takuda, they booted her out because she voted a certain way on the rail. Isn't that amazing? But then you say, well, if I saw Ryan Cochi tomorrow, he said, well, hey, I understand you called me a crook or said I was unethical. No, I said that you being the chairperson of the Senate, you know that Donovan De La Cruz, or you should be mindful of what your people are doing, and then you allowed them to vote, and you fashioned this strategy to get rid of Jill Takuda because she simply exercise her rights or due diligence or whatever it was to object to what the good old boy grind. But Donovan can be the flower child or whatever you want to be and go unscathed.
Right. It's amazing what they do in the legislature and in the local politics of city council, etc., etc. It's not the same like it was before. It's different. Do not bring shame to the family name. It's no longer emphasized. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like my dad's generation, when he went to war for the 442, his father did not bring shame on the honor of the name of the family.
Right.
You hold up to that honor. You know? But today's generation, man, they get away with murder. Unless unless it'd be like, you know, like the Kealoha, they got caught, you know.
Yeah, they may have gotten caught, as we all claim, but isn't it funny that the system, the very guy that has objections and had input in talking about them being indicted and all of this, Caldwell, look at his ties to the bank, look at all of his ties, look at the way he's managing and diverting money and the things, you know, but...
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, there was a big boo-boo on Friday's front page, I think, about the increases for bus and handy van.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Pang, I guess he wrote the article, Gordon Pang for Star Advertiser, mm-hmm. put in there that there was going to be a 50 cents increase on the handy van starting Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That was an incorrect thing because it was waived by the council for the rate commission. And speaking of the rate commission, remember I told you it was going to happen this Tuesday on the 2nd of January?
Mm-hmm.
The meeting has been deferred to the 8th of January, Monday, because they couldn't make quorum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's on vacation, and the committee commissioners couldn't make the meeting, so they moved it to the 8th, and they should come on from 2:30 to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
This is concerning the increase for rate for handy van as well as parking fees. The bus is going to go up about 25 cents from 2:50 to 2:75 tomorrow. So don't be shocked when you go over there and put money in the till. And then the rates for the you know, the passes are going to go up also. So you know, I feel sorry for those people, like the kids, the students, they have to pay a little bit more, and they have to walk home from school.
Right.
In the rain.
Wow.
Far away, but yeah, this is what happens. You know, it's taxes, and they just tax us till we bleed, and then. You're too broke to move on. You know?
Right, and they still get their checks, and they still get the... Don't go away. I was going to get to a point here, and if you want to chime in here. I want to try and show not only that is one way De La Cruz is doing things, and so when do they really get to serve us and do work? I mean... Get down to doing the work, you know, rolling up the sleeve and sweaty. You ever see them with sweaty eyebrows?
No. They don't know how we experience, you know, the people that, for instance, do the service for handy van, what we do, and then they appropriate them money for new vans and this and that, but do they really know what they're buying or they're giving the money to? You know, they should be more comfortable.
Yeah.
They should be able to... what we go through, you know, with the homeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, they're not solving it. You're just moving people around, and they should go down there and live with them for a month, or, you know, stay with them and see what they go through, the hardships, you know.
You know, I sit on radio here, and I don't want to be in broadcasting, but I see things, and I go, wait, that guy is an honest man. Why isn't he speaking? That guy is an honest man. Why aren't they calling the newspaper and telling what they see and not being anonymous? You can pick up a phone and call someone, block the number, call the newspaper and say, I know Kirk Caldwell is doing this, this, and this, and this. But instead, they too embrace this agency's crooked ways and the politicians' crooked ways, and then they turn around and drive down the street and go, look at all these damn homeless people. You know, the homeless people, they should do something about it. Well, you know, there's nothing to be done about human beings who are suffering from poorly planned, you know, government function. You know, it's there's nothing. Either they fix it or they don't fix it, right? But just on a sidebar regarding De La Cruz, and I thought I'd offer this. Now, this is De La Cruz's Hawaii State Ethics Commission's gift disclosure statement. And it was received on June 21, 2017. Gift information. National Hispanic Caucus of State Legislators. For 6-9 to 12, 2016. Airfare, hotel, some meals to Boston, Massachusetts. He received $1,700. Public Leadership Institute, 8-8 to 8-10, 2016, $1,500, airfare, hotel, some meals, Washington, D.C. National Hispanic Caucus of Legislators, 2016. Airfare, hotel, some meals, $1,700. Board of Hispanic Caucus Chairs, 8-10-12-2016, $600. Hotel, some meals, Chicago, Illinois. National Association of Latino Elected Officials, 8-19-2016, $1,350. Airfare, hotel, some meals, Boston, Massachusetts. Right? You getting this?
Right.
And 2017, National Association of Latino Elected Officials, 9-9-10, 2017. Airfare, hotel, some meals, Washington, D.C., $1,350. Ed Choice, 9-11-13, 2016. Hotel meals at Arizona Scottsdale, $600. Right? U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, 10-9-11, 2016. Airfare, hotel, some meals, registration, Miami, Florida, $1,500. Complete College of America, 11-10-11, 2016. Airfare, hotel, meals, San Francisco, $1,100. Board of Hispanic Caucus Chairs, 11-17-20, 2016. Airfare, hotels, meals, Miami, $1,700. Foundation of Excellence in Education, 11-30-12-2. Airfare, hotel, meals, ground, transportation, $1,800. State Innovations Exchange, 12-4-6, 2016. Stipend, hotel, some meals, Washington, D.C., $900. Heartland Institute, 12-15-16, 2016. Stipend, hotel, some meals, registration, Orlando, Florida, $800. State Agriculture Rural Leaders Association, 158-2017. Airfare, hotel, meals, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, $1,700. Asian Pacific American Institute, Congress Studies, I guess it's abbreviated. Stipend, hotel, some meals, Washington, D.C., $700. That was his 2016 report.
Amazing.
Now, it's not illegal. I won't say it's unethical. But when in hell does he have time to really tend to our problems if he's, I mean...
traveling all over.
Right? This is why they call politicians the fat cats. You know why? Because if you listen to everything there was, that the purpose of this was hotel meals and, right? Hotel meals and hotel meals and... I mean, when are you available if you're on the road working this, and then you're working for DTL to write up master plans and doing communications for the company? When do you, and then you're the chairman of the Ag Development Corporation, when do you have time to do the people's business?
Right. You figure he's doing a part-time job after that.
Nice guy, but we're not talking about niceties any longer. We're talking about people being irresponsible and not carrying out their fiduciary responsibility to, because in the bottom line and the reality of this, there are people, and you and I could be one of those people in the very near future, due to retirement and the conditions of retirement and hardships financially and the increase of taxes and all of these things. Well, we may find ourselves on the streets.
Right.
You know, we shouldn't look at every person out on the street as being someone that was a poor manager of their affairs. But maybe they were trying to struggle in this economy, in this crooked setup that we have here that's called political arena. You know.
Or we may have to migrate and go back to the meeting.
Well, I got news for you. There ain't no room over there. They got crooked. I think nowadays, probably the way what I see when I travel from around Wahiwa and those areas, and you see there's homeless people living in the guardrails now.
Right.
And you know, it's like the nerve of these people to be part of a team that they now fashion this card to give to the homeless, asking you not to give any money to the people on the corners or panhandlers, as they call them.
Right.
Give them this card that says a homeless. You see, you know what the insult is about that? They are recruiting, they have the audacity to recruit people like you and me who care and give a damn to get involved with their sleazy ways of handling and running people around and arresting them for spitting and sitting and, you know.
Right.
Yet they go and close the bathrooms off in the parks where the people wouldn't go, or they won't hire someone to clean them up. Because if people, you can take the best of people, the most well-mannered people, and have them to use a restroom for a period of time, it's going to get soiled. You're going to have breakage, right? But to try and indoctrinate the general public to become, to desensitize the general public, what humanitarian remnants that we do see when people pass a dollar out the window, they want to eat at that. That's cruelty. That tale tells me that I don't want these people as my neighbors, and I damn sure don't want them as my politicians and my leaders. Because where does it stop if they're that creative? And I mean, it just defies the sense of humanitarian care anymore.
Right.
What business is it of the government to tell you that you can't give a man a dollar, a 50 cent, right? Or hand him a bottle of cold water or cola? What government has time for that mundane orchestration of caring?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Compassion.
Yeah. Where is it?
Where's the aloha?
Yeah, aloha. Oh, I don't know. I think that's probably one of been the downfalls. They've used that so often, and so it's like the code word, you know. You learn you and I belong to a secret society, and we have a handshake, and you'll know that I am, and so I come to your aid anytime. But if you don't know the secret handshake, brother, you're screwed, right? So, but I just thought I would share that, and that's not to say that Mr. De La Cruz did anything wrong with that travel. But that's a lot of... that's a lot of lau-lau, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate all you do. I have to be going, but...
Okay.
Is your show going to be on? You know, Poco is talking about the station. What's going on with you?
Well, they're trying to renegotiate the antenna broadcasting.
Right.
And so we don't know with certainty what is happening, but... I'm still going to be on air with carolcox.com, and then I have Olelo, and then I will be we set up for carolcox.com, and we'll be going through the website at KWAI, so it'll still be alive and well until they get that matter corrected, but, you know.
I wish you all the luck on your New Year's.
Yeah.
Prosperous and healthy New Year.
I'm going to try and have a good time drinking some hot coffee and going to bed early. and hoping nobody get hurt with these. I'm just waiting. You know, every year there's some unfortunate soul or young person get harmed and maimed by these so-called... I don't know what pleasure there is that you get out of... I don't know. I used to, as a child, I thought, oh, wow, firecrackers. Now it's bombs. They're using bombs, man. I mean,
it sounds like Beirut already.
Yeah, and it's like, so again, you want to talk about government at its worst and at its best. Those people that are impacted by the smoke and all are still here.
Yeah.
And they went and... This is when you should look at every politician and say to them, you need to get a job, because the job you're doing you don't treat it like a job. Remember they voted and made it a requirement to have, if you shoot fireworks, you have a license, and that would control the amount of smoke and reduce the number of people, right?
Yeah.
But did they put a limit on the number of permits?
No.
No, they saw it as revenue.
50 permits, and was buying fireworks. 50 permits, $25 a pop each permit.
Right. So how many permits have they sold this year?
I quite should have exceeded the one from last year.
but the strategy was, and then the purpose of charging was to, it would cause the reduction in use of fire.
And the, where's all that money going to?
Well, I guess if we were to go look to see which legislator or city council was involved in that, we'll find that they had lunches too.
Yeah.
and toured the fireworks factory.
Yeah.
And got $250 donation for their campaign.
Correct.
We have the cheapest politicians on the planet. You know that, right?
I believe so.
It's hard to see. And you think, well, God, you do it all. You sold us down the drink for just mere pennies? I mean, give us some decency here. At least take a big bribe or, you know, let's see.
Just throw a big bribe and get caught.
Yeah. I mean, but no, $250, $300 here donation. I mean, you got the cheapest bargain price here for politicians and their influence.
Well, Carol, it's nice to
Alrighty.
Talk to you, and you have a good one. I have to be leaving.
Okay, you too. I talked to Richard, and cool. I was hoping that he'd call in, and we could all hear him and chat with him. So.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, brother. Thank you. Aloha. Yeah, this is the Carol Cox Show you're listening to here on KWAI, 1080 AM. We'll be right back.
She was on the 16, on the 16. cha-cha-cha. They like to cha-cha-cha. They like to cha-cha-cha. Ooh, everybody likes the cha-cha-cha. Took my baby to the hop last night, and what to my surprise, when we got there, she hit me with the news right between the eyes. Yeah, she said she couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. She said she couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. She couldn't, no, she couldn't cha-cha-cha. Ooh, my baby couldn't do the cha-cha-cha. I told her not to worry, they'd play some other dance. But we sat back for an hour and a half, and we never got a chance. For every song they played was the cha-cha-cha. Every song they played was the cha-cha-cha. Tom Dooley, cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. Ooh, every number was the cha-cha-cha. I told her not to worry, there's only one thing we can do. Baby, if you let me take you by the hand, I'm gonna teach this dance to you. Then I told her one, two, cha-cha-cha, one, two, cha-cha-cha, and up now, cha-cha-cha, and back now, that's right, turn now, and let's cross now. Ooh. I taught my baby how to cha-cha-cha. Kept on dancing, and was I surprised? For you see, after we practiced for a little while, she was doing it better than me. Now my baby loves to do the cha-cha-cha. Ooh, she loves to do the cha-cha-cha. She likes her cha-cha-cha. Ooh, she likes the cha-cha-cha. Ooh, everybody likes the cha-cha-cha. They do it.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI1080AM.com. Again, as in the earlier show, Polka shared with you the potential of this being the last show. The show will go on, but there's some efforts to renegotiate the broadcast tower, so I'll leave that up to management. But in the meantime, just to share with you, many of you probably wonder, and I do know that, and note that on occasion we get some that call in and rather contentious, but for the wrong reasons. And I say that because we do what we do to inform you. We're not getting paid for this, and that still does not mean that's an element that you should use to gauge whether we paid or not paid. But just to share with you, many of the stories that you see on TV, you can attribute their birthplace as being right here at the Carol Cox Show. A great many of them. And so what I would say to you is that don't be hoodwinked or looking for the big stars in the sky for your sources of information and sources of information with integrity. I have no purpose of reshaping, reinventing, or doing anything other than tell you, convey to you what we find to be true in the documents. And we might add a little color to it. But on the other hand, just know that this is what you, many of you say you're looking for the real news. Well, you get it right here. I can assure you of that. So those of you that have historically dismissed this as being a very small, if you only knew the significant role that we play, this show plays in getting information. There are stories that we don't even appear in or share, that even discuss, and we give them out to the stations and to the newspapers and what have you, that pertains to the Hawaii, you know. So looking a gift horse in the mouth and then complaining about his dentures is the wrong place. It's something that if you've been fortunate enough, I will tell you, if I was in your place and I was fortunate enough to hear this show, I would think that I was quite lucky. And that's not to be boastful. But I know what the grounding of this effort is. It's to people like you and me. I grew up not being informed. I grew up being information being kept away from me. Grew up not being published. Grew up not being heard. This was an opportunity for you to be heard. So those of you that appreciate it and understand it, good for you. And we'll continue in some form or some fashion. Those of you that wanted to cast aspersion, then you know what they say on the street. And I won't say that, but you get the gist. So this has been one wonderful ride. I think we're 10 years, 11 years, and on the soul of what is good for us all. And not the politics of it. But anyway, so much for that. But again, you'll find me at carolcox.com always. And then you'll find us at KWAI1080AM.com. So if you, I'm thinking about changing my name to the annoying one. Not the anointed one, but the annoying one. And then you'll be able to find me with ease. But carolcox.com, C-A-R-R-O-L-L. COX.com. And you might see me on Olelo. Okay, I have a regular series there. But and you might see me producing a couple shows and just to go on regular TV and independently. So we're going to be talking to some people that want to fund that and do it from there. But just, it's been an awesome ride, and I hope that many of you out there, I know, like my mother used to say, you're too smart for your own good, and I'll convey that to many of you out there, that you were too smart for your own good, because if someone set down a box of truth in front of you, the best way to respond is to look, sort through that, and you'll go away informed. But if you approach it and challenging it and have nothing to base your challenge on, just out of mere suspicion, or just it's just a routine way of responding, then you've cheated yourself. And that sounds kind of selfish, but it is. I can assure you. I'm at the end of this microphone and can tell you that the sacrifices I've made in trying to convey to you, if getting your house bombed isn't enough to convince you that you can trust me, and while trying to gather information and then having my house bombed, or getting assaulted, nearly murdered, to get information to you, then you definitely need to rethink what it is that your values and how you appreciate things, because I'm just here to tell you, and it's not going to stop. I mean, the bombing will stop. The maiming and the attempt to murder me will stop. But my efforts will not. So just be mindful of that, and so it's something that those of you that have phones or have the internet service, carolcox.com. It'll always be there. And if you want to go back and listen to old shows, they're all podcasts, every single show that we've done. And, you know, and through this effort, through this, we don't care to discuss it on there, but we've been... one person sued us for a matter, and that case was dismissed because there was no basis. And then there are other cases where I get subpoenaed for doing our investigative work. So just understand, it what may appear to be, you don't see the NBC or the CBS or what have you, but you were fortunate to receive this information, and in the way we deliver it, unbiased, absent of my colorful comments. But hey, if you got a crook in the cookie jar, then call it what it is. Just You know, you catch them with their hands in the cookie jar. You tell it. You don't stand there and go, well, a certain guy who's overweight was caught with his hand in the cookie jar again. No, that gets you nowhere because tomorrow is the election. But if I were to tell you, hey, Carol Cox got caught with his hand in the cookie jar and stuffing them in his face, and you'll have enough to know that Carol Cox shouldn't be voted in to be head of the cookie factory or something. It'll allow you some kind of way to judge in your decision, being smart voters, smart citizen. And remember, the most painful part of this, you think someone bombing a house and someone trying to kill you? That's par for the course. What is more painful is to see we've been on air talking about homelessness and the hardships that other human beings are experiencing, and it's gotten worse. And that is absolutely the most painful message that anything that we've all missed, and that we don't care about our fellow citizens, our fellow human beings. It's not about radio. It's not about the waves. It's about how you find yourself being manipulated by crooked politicians who tell you anything, hunt down people on the streets, herd them like cattle, and then the next day invent some other strategy. And you're the one who supports it. So let's show some compassion. It's a new year coming. But let's start today before the new year come in. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, next year is going to be Aloha year.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think Aloha? What's the meaning of Aloha?
I got to.
What do you think here for? For Aloha? Or just for me, Bonaire? What are all the people that came before the Kalakama only came? What do you think we're here for?
Pardon me?
For our culture? Our nature, our natural beauty, you know, the good water, the good Aloha, the welcoming of Aloha, the reason of the culture.
Okay, you got a lot of wind there. Turn
yeah.
Around from the wind.
The reason of Aloha. We mean from Kalaka Maoli, education or culture or character. We gotta go back to our ancestors and we didn't do our hairy.
Pardon me?
But we came this far. And yeah. What we're doing, what they're gonna leave us. And what we're gonna need, Dara guys, Dara feet, Dara generation.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta do Aloha. That's the only way.
Okay.
We got nuclear weapons, all kinds of weapons, military, whatever. So the reason who's suffering? It's Mother Nature and it's our survival. So we have to think Aloha. That's the only way. You look at the history of Aloha. You know the meaning of Aloha. It's the queen of the Hawaiians and how they were from thousands of years, how they were living. But Aloha, I mean, they have some civil wars. But the main reason, the main, to me, the main in the dictionary and religion is Aloha.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's five, like, you know, the Sashi Miyamoto, the five rings, the water, the land, you know. You know the water from going through the river, the mountain, the ocean, and the land, and the water comes from all the vegetation, you know, the whatever, okay.
Turn away, you're breaking up, you're going
right?
To... Couldn't hear it was reverberating. Call if you can call back and turn away from the wind or mic away from the wind. It's unbearable. Anyway, going back to where we left off in the package of the DTL, we were discussing Mr. Senator Donovan de la Cruz's involvement with a company called DTL, who received a contract for $99,000 in some chump change for the... master plan at Alawai Small Boat Harbor. and he gets paid for that. So anyway, let me just give you a list of things that his company report. Now, these are not my conclusions. This is what they report. It says that NextEra is a Florida-based utility service provider seeking to merge with Hawaiian Electric Company in order to help Hawaii replace a small, tiny writing, my gosh, as part of the community outreach to introduce NextEra to Hawaii. The campaign is focused on educating. So DTL is part of the communications team. Now, imagine that big struggle and the PUC approving this and that and about the it was before the PUC. And NextEra gave $84,000, it's reported, to Donovan De La Cruz. While all of this struggle or this attempt to get approval. Is that right? That's NextEra. Now, Kaka'ako Makai Master Plan. DTL is part of the team that includes WCIT, Architecture, Edith Kanaka'oli Foundation, and PBR, Public PBR Hawaii, and tasked with the master planning of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, OHA, Kaka'ako, Maka Properties. So, Makai Properties, I'm sorry. So, here's the big question. I've just named you three projects that were interest in state interest and the people's interest, and Donovan De La Cruz's businesses got a contract with him. Now, should he recuse himself or should he be removed from that and not have anything to do with these businesses? But I will tell you, if you got a head of the Ways and Means Committee, you handle the purse. And everybody knows that if you don't get your projects funded, you might as well say you wasted your time. If you the proposal that you, the legislation that you get, if you don't have any money to back it, you're not going to get anything. Kailua Town Community Planning. So if they give the contract to Donovan, the DTL, so you think Donovan would be inclined to do a hustle for them in the legislative process? I don't know. I can't say he did or didn't, but just a mere inference. The international marketplace, DTL had things to do with that. Now, city council had a role in the approval and the state, you know, the corridor, the development, master plans and all of that, the Waikiki. The Turtle Bay Master Plan, remember that it had something to do with setting some 600 acres aside for conservation and blah, 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 blah. Donovan De La Cruz, his company got paid in the contract for that. How much money did he get for that out of the contract? Mo'ili'ili Master Plan. Again, DTL. A series of visioning charrettes for Kamehameha Schools, Mo'ili'ili Commercial Properties during these sessions, right? So, Kiwalo Harbor Master Plan, Donovan De La Cruz's company, got a contract. As part of the Ward Village Master Plan, Howard Hughes held two community meetings to discuss the planning of Kiwalo Harbor, roughly 100 community stakeholders and officials, including Hawaii County Community Development Authority, harbor tenants and fishermen, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, Kamehameha. See, OHA is a state agency, and so it just didn't look right, and it still does not look right. But if you're wondering how did the thunder get stolen out of the storm, maybe it's because of the way things are done. Kupo Polo Heiau Restoration Plan is located in Ahupua, Kawailoa, in the Moku of Wailua. Right? Donovan De La Cruz's or company. DTL is tasked to evaluate the land use opportunities and constraints on the property to help better understand the allowed use on the property to support stewardship and educational uses. DTL will also evaluate the potential for cultural site restoration. Now, I'm not saying they're not qualified to do this, but boy, it's sure an extravagant thing when, you know, DTL and WCIT is mentioned in the same sentence, but it's suggesting that they're different. You just have to know that something, if you put this into play, there's some big questions. Why do they talk in that fashion? Why do they present the facts to you in such a way that... Located on Oahu's fabled North Shore, Turtle Bay Resort is looking to revamp some of its undeveloped lands to complement its existing hotel and resort. In conjunction with WCIT Architecture's master planning effort for the 90 acres of hotel units, timeshares, and private residential lots, DTL provided in-depth cultural research. How about that? You see, they go hand in hand. DTL, WCIT, isn't that funny? But in the way it's written, it's as if they are separate entities. When in fact, I've just read to you the records at DCCA say that the managing staff or the managed by is WCIT. And again, DTL is part of a team that includes WCIT. Now, DTL, a subsidiary or a sister agency or a prodigy of what would you call it? They're one and the same. Same managers, same people, just call it a different name. So that suggests, that's when the bells and whistles go off, when you have such elaborate articulation of the circumstance to fuzzy up things so that when you look at it, oh, okay, WCIT, they're different names. You wouldn't know that they're the same company and they're managed by the same people that have DTL is the same, managed by WCIT managers, or whatever you want to, however you want to look at it, it's still conflicting. Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your call.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish you a happy new year and thank you for all the things that you're doing. This place definitely needs a good watchdog.
All righty. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Getting it in there before the end of the show.
All righty. Thank you.
I didn't hear, as this is the last, your last show for, they're shutting down the
I don't know. We're waiting for the owner here to finalize or formulate something, and we'll go from there and see. But
I see. I sure hope they keep this station going. It has a lot of good health news, and your program and all that on there is one of the best stations they got here.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we'll be back, but carolcox.com, and keep an eye on that, and Facebook too, Carol Cox, all right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Aloha. So, guys, we need to be more mindful. And for goodness sake, Kool-Aid is bad for you, folks. Political Kool-Aid is not good for you. Don't drink it. It's not good for you. And if it's pink, it's to mask something. If it's blue, it's to mask something. You don't know the quality of the water that you use to make it. You don't know the quality of the people that sit there and make the decision, because when you see the articulation such as this in such a fanciful way, using two companies, the names of two companies to suggest that they're part of the team, but they're really the same. It's like saying LeBron James and LeBron James is going to be playing basketball. So, you know, it's like, or LeBron James calls himself another name, and then the two of them are going to play, but it's the same guy. Something's wrong with the game. You would scream, this game is rigged. Well, why not say that about this? And I wouldn't trust anything that comes out of the Ige administration, nor would I trust anything to come out of the Hanabusa administration. Absolutely nothing. You find yourself voting for either of those, then you're drinking Kool-Aid in extremely high doses, and you're never going to see yourself in the mirror as being a successful, smart voter. You're never going to. I mean, you take Colleen Hanabusa, as we suggested many times, ask yourself, is it that malleable to, or that, is it acceptable for a person to be playing the, what do you call that game, when the seats, you play the hot seat or whatever it is, but she's one day, she's a congressman, the next day she's this, and we need stability in our representation. We need predictability. We need to have somebody there to sustain themselves. Being a junior member in the Senate or the House is not good for you, not good for the people that it's representing. And I know that everyone can't be the leaders. There have to be other lower-ranking people. But for us here in Hawaii, I mean, we need to be a little smarter, rethink our way of voting. So as it relates to, I just have to tell you, and I think many of you may have heard me say it before, there was a guy named Rex Johnson who presented himself in the most bigoted fashion against blacks and gays, lesbians, and others, that and people of color, and the President of the United States, Barack Obama, on state computers. They knew about it. They being Hanabusa, she had received a letter that this was on, and she never disclosed that letter. But you'll see her, when it comes to other cultures or other people, she has no problem in presenting herself. If it's the Japanese or whatever, she's there supporting that. But when you get a bigot in state government writing nonsense and using the state, and here's what happened. I went to her and asked her for a copy of that letter, and she refused. So what happens? Did the guy get punished? No, he ended up going back to UH and being given a job there for $100,000+. And so I still can't bring myself, and then look at the acquisition of her condominiums there at Coalina and all of those things. So it's up to you to vote for it, but, you know, just understand, they say if you no vote, no grumble. If you continue to vote for the same people, then you deserve the kicking you get. I mean, I don't know any other way to tell you. It's like self-inflicted. She's a nice lady. We can't say she's not. But the process that we saw recently with the heart, one day she's the attorney, and they're accused people of citizens council accused of false and wrongdoings as it relates to the rail and their voting and receiving of fundings and donations. And the next day she's representing them. And the next day she has a closed-door session. And the next day it all, poof, disappears. Do you want someone like that in government continually can walk behind closed doors and just orchestrate something? I'm just asking you, folks. You can do what the heck you want to do as a voting. But there's two people that you would never see me vote for again. Never. And, again, they have the audacity when you write, if you may recall, there were a number of truckers that were, in my opinion, and based on the evidence, was falsely accused and basically set up there at Radford High School, and where there was contaminated materials and soils and contaminants hauled off and dumped at various places, causing the state health department to go and make them dig it up. But the information was submitted to the state health department, and what I believe was a cover-up by the DOE and Department of Health wrongfully charged these drivers, truck drivers, for illegal transport and dumping, when in fact the state knew, the DOE and the Navy knew that it was a dump. They knew it was asbestos and other materials, and hazards and toxins in that material. Hauled it off to Haiku Village, put it on land up there, and had to go back and dig it up. To date, I wrote a letter to the governor, Ige, asking him, based on our investigation and based on, and you can go back to carolcox.com and hear every word we've said about that, asking the governor to intervene and do what's right, what's just by these men and these women that were driving trucks. They didn't know, but the state DOE and his and the Navy knew what was in the soil. They knew what was there. They knew it was a landfill that was used, whether buried it over, and the football field at Radford was there. They knew that. So they, and then the company that was the contractor was wrongfully charged and harassed. So I wrote the governor a letter, Governor David Ige a letter. I never heard one single word from him or his aide or representative. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was contacted by an attorney representing one or more of the truckers. He informed me that the governor's office said they never received the letter. You see the kinds of sleazy tactics that were being employed. I know they received the letter because when I sent it, I call and confirm the receipt of the letter. They then say, well, we don't use that address, gov@hawaii.gov, anymore. That was the Abercrombie administration that used that. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? But we'll let that be. We then file another letter, the same letter, submitting it, and to date, 6 or 7 months have gone by and still have not received a response. We don't necessarily need to receive a response, but we were asking for justice, for the governor to intervene and say to the DOE, so here's what happened. The governor finally said, well, or his office said, well, we received your letter, and we referred it to the DOE. I'm saying to the governor, the DOE wrongfully implicated the truckers. Could you do something about that? Instead, he sent my letter to the DOE, and to date, I've heard nothing. And that reminds me of the Dan Dennison. We wrote a letter to the governor about Dan Dennison, the senior communications manager there at DOE, Department of Land and Natural Resources. We were concerned that he was using his official title and position to talk about a situation back in Virginia, where he once worked as a newsroom manager or editor, and basically he left there, and he's now working for the DLNR. And this involved a young man killing two people that worked for Dennison, as well as that young man who Dennison stood and said he hired. But he stood on state grounds of the Department of Land and Natural Resources wearing a uniform shirt, Land and Natural Resources, with the backdrop being the state building, and he proceeded to talk about this. If you go over there now, they put in locks and whatever, and I'm told by workers there that this is about, he has shared with them and encouraged the people, higher-ups, Suzanne Case and DLNR, to put locks. And when you go in now, it's so impersonal. Nothing. There's no threat. So, and there are many other issues we raise with that, where he was found to be, his company paid some more than $300,000 for inappropriately showing inappropriate sexually explicit material on the evening news. He also was responsible for airing a video reflecting that a citizen had posted a monkey statue dressed like Obama and in turn had no newsworthiness in it. And so this is the kind of safe harbor that David Ige and Colleen Hanabusa submits to people that participate or peripherally participate or involved with acts that would be interpreted as bigoted, as racist. And they still get their positions and hired. And so that brings me, we talked about Mr. De La Cruz. Now we have, I'm told, at the end of this year, which will probably be the last, that one of the oldest remaining biologists there will be retiring. So now that leaves us with a deficit of biologists in Department of Land and Natural Resources. But there's a common practice here, and we've come to expect this. We brought you a story just last week, a week before last, where there's sewage, raw sewage, bubbling out of the pipe there at Sand Island. They contacted, the media contacted Dan Dennison, out of office, no comment. We can't seem to get any real comments, and most of the responses are, I'm out of the office. And so I wanted to know, what is this man doing when he's out of the office? And then I'm talking to biologists and what have you, and I'm being told they can't leave the office because that's not the priorities. They can't go into the fields and do it. They have Dan Dennison leading the charge. So I just wanted to go through and look at this. Since 2014, he was hired, I think, and up to September of this year, we recovered some of his travel expenses. $50,000 in just travel, not to mention all the other trinkets and things that one would buy when they're spending other folks' money. $220 here in it. This was 12/17/14. Let me make sure I got the date here. 1/6/2015, 7 a.m., Kahului. $136 airfare, authorized travel. This is during the Isla era. Let me just pull these up real quick. And $159 airfare, Hawaii Aloha salvage and damage assessment work with Dobar. So what he does is go to these sites and film them. Now, anybody, even the statue of the monkey statue of Barack Obama, can run and operate a video camera. So why do we need to have a communications senior manager at $119,000 running around the state filming things that could be taken pictures? You can give them the statue a Polaroid and they can send you pictures. So there's a bit of extravagance here that to try and use his skills, I guess. Suzanne Case hired him, I guess, to use his skills as a news editor to present DLNR in a good image. But we don't have monies to fund or pay for the biologists to go out in the field and do the real work. So here he goes to Kahului, and per diem and meals, $20. The total cost, $248 for it looks like one-day travel. $242 for another travel to Kahului. Just constantly, $240 for the to go to Hilo. And then when you go to Hilo, you got to rent a car, right? And some instances, he went to multiple islands in one day. I've been around a long time in conservation, folks, and environmental work. And this is excessive. Some even said, well, maybe they're using him to do campaign video. I don't know about that one, but something to be able to spend $50,000 plus for travel alone in less than a year and a half, 2 years, for one person going to Lahore and just to do video, that's not the communication specialist. There, you could have a underling doing the videotaping and what have you. But when you call to speak to DLNR on many of the issues, as I've said, unavailable, out of office, no comment, you're on your own. And then what happens is that when you make a statement or draw conclusions, then they are available then, but they don't give you any original statement. They don't respond in a timely fashion. It's always a whiny-piny, moaning and groaning, complaining after, but when they have the opportunity to speak to issues in real time, they don't. So here's a Monk's Hill translocation project to Kiriato via Kona, Midway, and back to Oahu. Various video images, information projects on Kiri and Midway Atolls. This is only for one-way travel. Total amount was $2,327.45. I do a lot of photography, and they got cameras now. And I'm not that brilliant of a cameraman, but I come up and do some pretty decent footage. And I know these biologists and people that are going out in these transplants could film this themselves, in which they do. And it's government filming anyway, so there's no right or copyright concerns. You're on duty, you take a government camera, it's part of your duty to film, and you bring it back and you have it. But do you need a senior communications manager? So we wrote Mr. Ige about Mr. Dan Dennison, and wrote Mr. Dennison's, not a response. You see? So it's disheartening when you see people talking about, well, we built a cultural center over here for these people, but when we have a person that goes around and make videos and uses his power to put videos of a black man on TV conveying that he's a monkey and dumb and what have you, we hire him. And then when black people respond and ask him to intervene and look at this and bring it to their attention, they ignore us. That's why I say that David Ige is not someone you want to vote for. There are many issues, the TMT, many other issues, the water issues. You go to Maui and look how the water is, Suzanne Case and all. You go to Kauai, the recent thing. All of these things, if they can build their temples and build their and erect buildings to bring recognition to their culture, then damn it, you should be able to look at the civil rights and ask yourself, is this behavior that displaying video on TV, on the evening news, with a penis in hand, and then portraying a black man as a monkey who is the president of these United States, and you hire this guy? That's the bottom line, folks. Donald Trump can take and learn tricks from these guys because it's me, 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 me. And then you see the increased population of homeless Hawaiians out there. But it's me, 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 me. And we just build a new building for our culture. Me, 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 me. And then we say aloha. This is the Hawaiian way. We believe in the host culture. You're not hosting. The host culture is not hosting you. You're stepping on them. You're doing things that evil people do. So my vote is not going. I'll vote for Mickey Mouse if he's or Minnie Mouse if she shows up. She got my vote because the insensitivities and when there's a time to arrive and deliver, they don't, and they will look at you and ignore you. Now I know I'm not. I don't have the name of Walter Cronkite or or all the big names in media. But I'm a citizen. I'm a taxpayer. I deserve some kind of respectable response, like anyone, if you are the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But then maybe black people aren't people in your mind, because you would never serve as safe harbors for bigots. You would not. You should not. And yet, you want to vote? You want us to vote for you again? I get emails after emails, and telling me, "Oh yeah, well, Carol, this is the Ige team is looking good." And in my eyes, in my experience, not so. Not so. So we need a realignment. All those that beg and understand the Hawaiian way and impressed with the Hawaiian culture, and then you step on their heads and you deny them and you have the opportunity to make good and utilizing the resources that are set aside. You don't have to reinvent anything. You don't have to create anything. You don't have to legislate anything. There are money set aside with the specific intent of helping Native people, and you squander it. You miss your chance. You blow it off. And you want us to vote for you. And you want us to celebrate in your winnings. And then you want us to tolerate the hiring of your senators and your to run small businesses, to run side businesses, to drain public monies. Because where there is state functions, state interests, state business like Olawai Canal or Olawai Small Boat Harbor Project, that's taxpayers' dollars. That's the people's property. So if you're giving it off to DTL, you're giving him our money. You're saying to this senator, we're sitting high on this. We got control. And I wonder how many other senators, and I'm going to be starting to dig and look to see how many other senators. I got, it's not that many, 20-something and 25, I think. So how many of those are have businesses that have contracts with the state or with functions or matters that relate to contracts awarded by the state? But Colleen Hanabusa sends out real quick, like, Aloha, Carol. As we are about to turn the corner into a new year, it is sadly very clear that our state government is struggling. There seems to be no leadership or direction and no action or accountability in the governor's office. It's even hard to say who's in charge. I think I deserve a pat on the back and applaud because I hadn't read this. This is Colleen Hanabusa's campaign message. And I can only submit to you, if she said that about David Ige, then maybe I'm a little accurate here. I don't know. I can't say for sure. But here's Mr. Ige's email. December is almost over, and our goal is in sight. We're only $2,265 short of our $25,000 goal. Your contribution of $10, $15, $25 can help Team Ige cross the finish line by tomorrow. Governor Ige's effective leadership has made Hawaii a national leader in the environment. Really? Governor Ige, truth be told, we have one inspector in the health department for wastewater. Not clean water, but wastewater. We have very little or skeleton coverage, and that's for the entire state. I know that because I just talked to some of the people in the wastewater branch. You have AES coal ash flying about off the property, and we don't know what is happening with the environmental impacts, because we had a big flood, sewage flowing into Olawai, into Ala Moana, closing the beaches, but they dragged their feet and pulled signs later. We're having a struggle in demand, and you present that you're a national leader in the environment? Really? Health care and civil rights? Really? Your office, your administration serves as a safe haven for bigots. And you want to talk about civil rights? Your cheerleader, David and Goliath Caldwell, boast and have been sued by the ACLU on matters of relating to the homeless and have been successful because you violated their civil rights. See, folks, it's about time to draw a conclusion on this, because if this merry-go-round continue, it'll be the same old, you see those characters, those horses and elephants and pigs that you see going around in circles. And it'll never stop unless you say, hey, it's time to change those characters on that merry-go-round. Let's put some fictitious characters up there, like David Ige, like Colleen Hanabusa, like Donovan De La Cruz, Roman Cotrola, you know, Nestor Garcia. Put those names up there. Put those faces up there and let the mirror go around, because it'll reflect exactly what we see in our government. Our streets are being littered, sewage being spilled. We had the rains right after Christmas Eve. And after that, we had sewage spilling out of Pier 38 and on and on and on. The environment, right? The rail. Call a special session. Gave money. But if you go around and look on the rail route, I want you to take notice of all of these piles of dirt and rubble that is covered with plastic. Some, they don't even do a good job. That's contaminated material. And if you look, you don't see the protocol, the best management practices to keep that from blowing into the houses of the families that live right around, or business that may end up being impacted and ingesting it. But in his campaign, civil rights and the environment. This is why you shouldn't drink Patron in the early morning. Patron is tequila. Because you'll say drunken and silly things. This administration has nothing to do with anything remotely about environmental. You had a 73-foot fishing vessel, long line vessel, that sat there for 2 months, just wasting away. Weren't smart enough to go and hire a company with a vessel that had torque and could pull it off. You played with it. You even relied on, you didn't see the DLNR anywhere in sight, had no comment, but it was their area. They handed it off to the Coast Guard, who said, there's no pollution, no oil, no leaks from this vessel. We took it all off, and I showed you through my drone shots that rang around the world, showing that Honolulu had a boat sitting off of Waikiki oozing oil, and they called it a sheen. And I didn't know if they meant Martin Sheen, Charlie Sheen, or Sheen Sheen. I don't know, but it wasn't reflective of the truth. So I don't know who you can vote for, but I tell you two that I wouldn't vote for. That's Ige and Hanabusa. H-I, Hanabusa and Ige don't stand for Hawaii. So what I will tell you is that as mean-spirited and as nasty as I may sound, I think I'm a little polite when you really look at the circumstances and you look at the things that we see, the decay in this city, in this state. And for goodness sake, I hope you do something to ward off the increased taxes that's going to impact many of these senior citizens who had their lives planned but didn't expect to be hit with this funding a $20 billion train. And we don't even know what it's going to cost because we haven't started to address the contaminants. And if you look at some of the documents from Hart presentations made, they talk specifically about contaminants in some areas abroad that were put in a rail and found that the contaminants and the removal and the adjustment and abatement was going to be costly. So I want to thank all of you guys for listening, and thank you for, and I hope you the health of a lifetime and continue living. Be healthy, be wise, be smart, and we'll see you in the very near future. I think I'll be back next week, and if not, we'll go to carolcox.com. I want to thank many of you who've helped me, and thank you for many of the workers, state, city, county, government workers that dare to risk their jobs and what have you to share and bring information to you, the listeners. And we'll try to do it again, and we'll continue to do it. So see you in the very near future. Aloha, and we'll be back somewhere sometime. But catch me on Olelo on Sundays at 1 o'clock and Thursdays at 7:30. Take care. Aloha.